Welcome to Playmakers Talk Show, where business owners, professionals, and entrepreneurs gather to discover playmaking ideas for success. Your host is internationally recognized speaker, facilitator, and author, Steve Klein, who sits down with fascinating playmakers who have made themselves and their company successful. Steve will introduce you to CEOs and executives who discuss their playmaking path toward success. And now, it's time to meet this show's playmaker. Here's your host, Steve Klein.
Winston Churchill said, "We shape our buildings, thereafter they shape us." Welcome, Playmakers Talk Show. I'm Steve Klein. In the studio today is a guest who shapes and designs buildings through innovation. Today's Playmaker still has his first client from 23 years ago and was voted the 27th best place to work in Houston. With us today is a founding principal who leads a group of designers, architects, innovators, dog lovers, problem solvers, and adventurers. This great playmaker is Jim O'Neill. Jim is founding principal, chief innovator of Inventure. Jim is a creative powerhouse with 38 years of experience who leads Inventure with a people-first approach. Jim founded Inventure in 1997 as a firm that solves complex problems across a range of disciplines while emphasizing elevated design, collaboration, and an injection of fun every step of the way. Inventure Design is a team of 50 architects, interior designers, urban planners, and graphic designers working together to create spaces that delight and heal while helping their clients achieve peak business performance. While staying connected to the original mission and values of the firm, Jim keeps Inventure as the leading edge of a fast-paced, increasingly automated industry by looking for ways to enhance the value of the designs his firm produces, fostering team development, and infusing new technology whenever possible. Jim continues to challenge industry standards through his unwavering belief in the power of great design and innovation. Well, we have a lot to talk about. That's interesting. Jim, welcome to Playmakers Talk Show.
Thanks, Steve. Glad to be here.
Well, you graduated from the University of Notre Dame to study architecture, and then you spent your junior year living in Rome and traveling throughout Europe. How did your year in Europe influence your business?
Put it in context of this is 1979. No such thing as a cell phone. You jumped on a train, and you woke up the next morning in a foreign country, and you didn't have any money. You didn't know where to stay. You didn't have, typically, you didn't even have a map. And what you find out after doing that is that you can survive, and you can thrive and flourish. And you do that for a whole year. And when you come back to the United States and you go to New York City, New York City is not really that scary. I have money. I can, you know, call up and get a place to stay. And I most likely have a map of New York. And so it really did make a huge difference in how I worked and how I felt about, confidence and believing in yourself and what have you. When you can survive and do all that, the rest of it is all nice and easy. And I still, to this day, I spend a lot of time with junior people and interns that we hire in the summer, convincing them that it's still the best thing that you can do as an individual, in our business especially, but I would actually argue for any business, get out of your comfort level, go see how the rest of the world sees things, does things, because there is the people that we hire, the successful people that we hire are people that have traveled. When people ask me, what's the greatest thing that made a difference about your business, that was it.
Did that influence your design innovation by living in a classical area of the world?
Very much so. And I got very lucky at Notre Dame because at the time we had a series of very classicist architects that had been trained in the École des Beaux-Arts, and so they were on one side, and then we had a series of modernists that had been invited into the school, and we were at the juncture, and we saw the conflict, we saw the resolution, my design today was shaped by the fact that I spent all this time in Rome studying how the Romans 2,000 years ago planned things, and then spent time traveling to see the great Marcel Breuer, Le Corbusier, all of the great modern architects. And I think at the end of the day, it's a real marriage that comes out of all of that.
Well, you not only went to Notre Dame, you also went to Harvard. But it sounds like your junior year living in Europe was probably one of the greatest pieces of education for you.
Absolutely, 100%. And again, I cannot stress to young people, take advantage of the fact that most schools have an away program, and obviously this year is not a good year, but back in the past and hopefully into the future, taking advantage of that, I would strongly, strongly tell people to do that. The cost is basically the same, and what you learn and what you learn about yourself, there's no other substitute for that.
Well, in 1997, you took 3 months of savings and started your business. Why did you decide to start your business in 1997?
I have only worked for, besides InVenture, I've only worked for large architectural companies. And the great thing about large architectural companies is the breadth of tools that they bring to the table. And besides that, it's experience. But what always frustrated me is that as you moved up in the company, what ends up happening in larger companies is you get away from doing what you actually love to do, and more often than not, you have to start managing all of that. And so I was working in Houston, Texas, for a company called 3DI. 3DI decided to get out of the architecture business and get into the project management business. I had no desire for that. I went around and talked to everybody in town, and nobody was saying the things that I wanted to hear about allowing me to actually, you know, work with clients and do the work. And so I convinced my wife that I was going to take 3 months of savings, and if I couldn't make it work in 3 months, I'm back finding a job with somebody. I was supposed to start the company on March 30th, but due to the fact that I mistimed some things, I didn't get to the bank in time, and so I didn't open up the company until April 1st. So the company started on April 1st, 1997. Bought a computer, started to get things set up, and luckily on the second day, a past client called and said, "Hey, I've got a whole floor we need to expand into. You interested in helping us?" And I'm telling you, from that day, for the next 23 years, I have been running.
So, how did they find you?
Well, luckily, they called 3DI, and our receptionist, who was not supposed to give information that I was no longer there, Ginny, actually gave out my phone number. I mean, this again, really almost pre-cell phones and all of that stuff, gave out my home number, and my client called me up the next day. And so that's how the company started, and I knew that I wanted to create a company where I could do hands-on, really kind of white glove service for our clients. Most of our clients, they don't do this, but every 5 years when their lease runs out, and in between, they're running a company, they're building things, they're providing services, they're doing whatever. My kind of thought on all of this is, give me all of those things that we need to do to create a great space for you, and we'll work together. But it's not something you need to worry about. I'll take care of all that. And that's the philosophy that we still use today. Every project that we have has a principal in charge, and my job is not to be there on day one and say hi and then be there at the end and cut the ribbon and take all the credit for it. I still work on keeping everybody happy and working throughout the whole project.
Well, let's go back in time a little bit. Before we started, you were telling me that you grew up in Richardson, Texas. You went to Richardson High School, and that's where apparently you got your glimpse of architecture and it started becoming your passion. Talk about that.
Well, I'd always liked to draw as a kid, and I wanted to be an astronaut, as many young children. And unfortunately, I was not blessed with great eyesight, and by third grade I had very thick black rim glasses. That's the only thing they sold back then. And I was told by an astronaut, who was being very honest, that you had to have 20/20 vision to be an astronaut, and so I couldn't be an astronaut. But I still loved drawing, and one day in Richardson, Richardson High School, I decided to sign up for the auto shop class, and so I signed up for the auto shop class, and we rebuilt carburetors and we took apart a car and what have you, and the gentleman that ran the auto shop also did a drafting class, and Richardson High School. It really made a difference because drafting was not something they offered in all the high schools. It just happened to be at Richardson. I took drafting, and luckily this gentleman saw true promise and invited me to senior year to join his architecture class. I joined his architecture class. We worked on residential, did houses. And I took my house, built a model, and took it to Waco, Texas for the Texas State Architecture Fair and won third place. That really, honest to God, got me interested in the idea of maybe this architecture thing is the thing that I want to do.
You move from homes to businesses or offices. And you make the office fun and productive. What do you mean by that?
Well, the deal with everything that all of us do is, as humans, and this is why this time in 2020 has just been in devastating in many reasons and cases, because we're all social creatures. None of us to get the recognition or pay or whatever for what we do. And so the idea is that the office should provide a place for you to really, you know, do great innovation, do great work, hopefully get to do your life's work. I've been lucky in that sense, getting to do my life's work. And on top of that, it doesn't need to be a prison. It doesn't need to suck your soul out. I like to think of creating spaces that people enjoy being there, work hard, innovate where they're supposed to, be effective and efficient where they're supposed to, and then go home and not be dead and, you know, I've been beaten to death, you know, and that's what I like to think, that we create spaces that do that, and they're not mutually exclusive. That's the other thing, trying to convince other CEOs that you can actually do great work and have fun, and they're not mutually exclusive.
Well, for about 8 months, we've been in a working from home environment, people working remotely. They have their meetings via Zoom. You have four offices. So you do have some remote people, though a lot of them are working out of their office in Houston or Tulsa. How has that impacted designing offices? Are you designing for the future, or are you designing for a work-from-home environment?
So, great question. And the reality is we're still in a transition period of figuring that out. And right now it varies by company, it varies by industry, it varies by city, which is another interesting deal that we're discovering, since we do have offices in four locations. The interesting thing is, if I have to kind of take all that and put it into a simpler answer, right now it's going to be some kind of hybrid model of work in the office, but nobody, none of my clients are going to be able to say people can't work at home, because I'm sorry, they have. It's the most successful immediate trial that has ever happened in the United States and in the workforce. I mean, in less than a week, people who told us during programming that there's no possible way people can work from home had to figure out how to make that happen. And they did, and it's been successful. The part that we're struggling with now as a nation and as a workforce is office culture. Corporate culture has gotten lost in all of that. It's just very difficult on a Zoom call to get that back to where it was. We, in Venture, we spend a lot of time trying to make culture very important, and we struggle with, you know, there's only so much that you can do. So this hybrid model is going to be work from the office. Maybe if you've got to do some heads-down work and you've got a great place to work at home because you've had 8 months to kind of get it into shape, maybe I go home and I work at home to do that type of work. I come back to the office when I need to be collaborative, when innovation needs to be at the forefront. And I think we're going to see a lot more of that. And right now, our clients are struggling with, how does that work? What does that look like? We've never seen that before. So a lot of big companies were, I think unnecessarily, but felt the necessity of being somewhat centralized and authoritarian. I need to know you clocked in at 8 o'clock, you clocked out at 5 o'clock, I knew where you were, all of those things. And that's all changed. So it will be interesting. I am ready for 2020 to be gone in the rearview mirror. I don't ever want to see that again. And my real belief is 2021 is going to be a fabulous year as we all continue to figure out how this is going to work.
If nothing else, it gives us a chance to be a little more creative, and you're in the creativity business.
Correct.
You've been in business for 23 years. How did you develop your leadership style? Did that happen over a period of time?
It has. So, like I told you at the beginning, I've only worked for big companies, and honestly, I laugh sometimes because I learned in working with those big companies, a lot of what I learned is what not to do. Okay, like I'm not ever going to treat people like mushrooms, and I'm not going, you know. So I think a lot of that happened from previous work. Without a doubt, my guide in all of this, in a weird way, has been Steve Jobs. So you and I talked about our use of certain computer products, and so we've built a company around that, and that level of innovation, and that has driven. So it sometimes is very frustrating to people, but in a lot of ways we've picked that same type of idea. It's do good work, and people will notice, and the money will follow. We haven't run the company on we're going to be rich, and then everything else is going to work out. It really has been that same type of idea that Steve Jobs had. Build something insanely great, and people will notice. And Steve Jobs, people ask me, you know, how can you say he was your, you know, guru or whatever, model? because he was an intensely flawed individual. And one of the things that I did learn not to do is, yelling at me has never produced any good work out of me, ever. Not so yelling at me and telling me I'm stupid has not inspired me in the slightest. And, Steve Jobs was known for telling people that they were, worse than lint or whatever, less than lint. So, but I really do, I think that's been the thing, that's been a guiding principle in all of this. Do good work, help our clients through all the things that they're not any good at, and, the business will come. And 23 years later, 52 people later, we're still growing. Hopefully, Dallas will be our next growth place, and that's part of the idea.
Well, your corporate office is in Houston.
Yes.
You have just moved back to Dallas to your office to be closer to family.
I have.
You are admittedly saying that you are getting close to retirement age. You don't look like you're in a situation where you need to retire. You don't look like that as far as the way you look in me. It does not look close to your age. But what do you mean by starting over? Is it because you moved to Dallas?
The interesting thing is at some point in this grand experiment that I call it adventure, I decided that I wanted it to live longer than how long I lived. And so we changed the name. It took my name out of the company, created a nondescript name that hopefully inspires innovation, but has no ties to me specifically. And then last year I made our three other principals. One the managing principal, one director of design, and one the COO, and started the slow process of stepping back from that. For anybody who has ever been in that situation, and any of your listeners that have gone through this will understand that at some point being the founding principal of a company means that no matter the fact that I've assigned somebody to be managing principal, a lot of people kept coming back to Dad to ask permission for things and what have you. And at some point I realized that the managing principal was not only trying to develop his own style and how he was going to run the company and how this would all work, but he was also having to contend with this guy over on the side that was kind of, mucking things up. So the situation came to move, ability to move to the Dallas office. It gives Raymond, Catherine, and Michael, the other principals, more free rein. So for me, it's, I had 30-some-odd years of contacts and experience in Houston, knew everybody in the Houston market. And I'm now in Dallas, and it's like starting all over. It's like I graduated from college, dropped me in the middle of a new city, and I'm introducing myself to everybody that'll listen to me. So,
a new city that you grew up in.
A new city that I grew up in, that's correct.
Should someone want to get a hold of you and or the company,
yeah,
what should they do?
We have a really fabulous website that unfortunately confuses people right now because it's a newer domain name. So inventure.design, and everybody wants to put .com on the end of that. It's like no, it's inventure.design. Our website is a very good representation of the work that we do and all the stuff, all the contact stuff. Our most visited pages on our website are the people pages. So when we look at the statistics, people spend 10 minutes looking at our people page and less on our work sometimes. So that's probably the best way. We are out in, especially in the Dallas market, we're out talking to everybody that we can that's interested in creating value in their any of their design spaces.
The information is also on our website too, which is playmakerstalkshow.com. You can find adventure.design. Well, Jim, thank you very much for being a part of Playmakers Talk Show.
It was my pleasure, I assure you.
Very interesting understanding how you got to where you are. So thank you for being here. We just talked to Jim O'Neill. Jim is founding principal and chief innovator of Inventure. Thank you very much for listening to us. This has been a great show. Join us again at PlaymakersTalkShow.com, where you can get all of our past episodes. That's PlaymakersTalkShow.com, and we're going to be back with more Playmakers. See you then.
You've been listening to Playmakers Talk Show with Steve Klein. Join Steve again at PlaymakersTalkShow.com for more interviews with interesting and successful playmaking CEOs and executives.